Mary, of course, what a blessing. I love it when these young people play instruments and sing and just take a part in the service, and that is a blessing to me, and I appreciate them. All the practice, all the time that goes into one song or playing in the orchestra, it is a blessing. And God will use them in a great, great way, and I appreciate that. Nehemiah chapter 6, I mentioned on Wednesday and then this morning that we will be taking up a love offering tonight for the Spanish ministry. We will do that at the end of the service. Of course, we'll have the Lord's Supper, then we'll take up the love offering. So don't think I forgot. We are very excited about our Spanish ministry, and I'm real fired up about that. And Brother Chase is going to say a few things, possibly in English and maybe a few things in Spanish. Of course, many of you would not know if he said the right thing or not, but there are several here that would know, and that's why I don't use my Spanish. So I can't get away with it now. So anyway, Nehemiah 6 and verse 10, we are moving on in the book of Nehemiah, and we kind of get hung up in some areas because there's just all kinds of preaching in there, so it's hard for me to move on. But verses 10 through 14 tonight, afterward, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetbeel, who was shut up, and he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee." And I said, "Should such a man as I flee, and who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in." And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. Father, I pray you bless the preaching, and that you'll speak to our hearts these next few minutes from thy word. Please guide us and direct us, and help us, I pray. Help us to be different because of tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title tonight, I perceived that God had not sent him. Verse 12, I perceived that God had not sent him. And this has happened several times with Nehemiah. And if you walk with God, and if you read God's word, you learn quickly who God has sent and who God has not sent. As you get to know God, as you get to know God's ways, as you have your own precepts, principles from the scriptures in your own life, you start to learn who God has sent and who God hasn't sent. All you have to do is hear them a little bit and you know who God has sent and who God has not sent. So Nehemiah perceives this, and again, I remind you back a few lessons back, we talked about when Nehemiah consulted with himself. And in my mind, I go back to that and I think Nehemiah stopped and said, the things this man says don't line up with Scripture. The things this man who is my friend, this man who is a religious leader, they just don't line up with what God has told me. They don't line up with God's word, and therefore, I don't think God sent him. Now, I'll tell you what, that'd save us a lot of trouble if we could have that perception, and if we would stop in before decisions and think about things, think about what we're hearing, and then make our decision based upon, as Nehemiah did, in this case anyway, God had not sent this man, so I'm not going to listen to anything he says. Now, first of all, they were threatened. Okay, again, we're talking about building the wall around Jerusalem. And the first thing the enemy did is they threatened them. You know, we're gonna get an army together. We're gonna destroy you. Okay, that they overcome that. By the way, Satan does that kind of thing all the time. He'll threaten us. Then they wanted to set up in chapter 6, the first part here. They wanted to have a conference with them. All right, fine. You're gonna go ahead and build your wall. Let's talk about it. You know how strange that is. They're going to go ahead and build the wall, but the enemy says, wait, don't you want to talk to us about that? You know, another good time to say, no, I want nothing to do with you. I don't need to consult with you. I don't need what you have. I get calls all the time from new evangelical organizations and different people. People call and they'll want their, you know, well, we got this little group together and we like to sing a little bit and we'd like to come in. No. You know, we don't. You know, we've got our own people here and you're welcome to come and join our church and learn about music and you know, and whatever you have to do. But no, we're doing fine. We're all right. I get mail all the time. I usually pass it on to Kelvin. Last time, Kelvin passed it on to Tim. Tim put it in a frame and put it on his wall. And it was a, what was that? Was that a healing hanky or a
prayer rug?
That's what it was. And all you have to do is kneel down and touch it and pray and all kinds of things happen. And so Tim put it on his wall and he touches it every day. And well, it promised lots of money. So, you know, our offerings have been going up. It's got to be working. But no, we don't need a conference, you know, like that. And of course, we know that this conference, they wanted it to be in the plain of Ono. Yeah, now we know. See, every time that Ono comes up, you just got to, yeah, you just, boy, that warns you right away. And so they threatened him. They wanted to have a conference with him. Then they lied about him. All right, remember that? That letter, that open letter, they wanted everybody to know and gossiped about him and everything and told story, you know, made up this story about him and everything. And we talked about that last week. And and that didn't work. Well, so now they're desperate. Now the enemy is really desperate and the enemy is going to use religion. Now, the first enemy, the threatening enemy, came wearing an enemy uniform. But the next three came wearing an ally uniform. Do you understand? I mean, the devil is sneaky. The devil is very deceitful. The first time they came, they said, "We're your enemy, we're going to destroy you," and they threatened them. But the next three times, they're trying to get Nehemiah to stop doing what God called him to do. And so now they're wearing an ally uniform saying, "Hey, we're your friends." I mean, even when they're lying to him, they're saying, "Well, we need to talk about this thing." They keep wanting to get Nehemiah away from the work God's called him to do. Do you understand? If Satan could get you to do that, he doesn't care if you become a drunk. He doesn't care if you become a drug addict. He doesn't care if you ruin your life with immorality. As long as he can just keep you from doing what God wants you to do, he's pretty pleased with that. So they tried religion next, and that's where we come to here, verses 10 through 14, religion. And, you know, whether the enemy's wearing an ally uniform or not, it's still the enemy. And we need to keep that in mind. And so here they come. And let me take you to 1 John 4 and verse 1, just so we can understand God knows about this. God has warned us about this. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Scripture is very, very clear that these kinds of things will happen, especially in the end times. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Try the spirits whether they are of God. And again, you know, the popular thing today is, well, as long as we all believe in the same God, we ought to just all hold hands. Well, that isn't what Nehemiah did here. That's not what Nehemiah said, "I perceive that God had not sent them." So there must be some out there that God has not sent. There must be some out there that because of their spirit, because God says try the spirits, because of their spirit, there must be some out there God didn't send. There must be some charlatans out there that are just after our money. We know that's true. There must be some that are maybe even after our soul. There's probably some that are inspired by Satan himself to try to ruin our lives. I'm not trying to determine who that is and everything else. We could not begin to touch on every cult, every ism, every religious group out there. We don't have time for that. The best thing in the world to do is learn the truth so you can put the spirit on trial. That's what Nehemiah did. I mean, here, this is really a tough one here. And I'll explain that. It is a tough thing for Nehemiah to come to the conclusion, "I perceive that God had not sent him." It's a tough thing. And the Bible talks about a form of godliness denying the power thereof. And I mean, that could be any number of people. That could be right here at Berean Baptist Church. I mean, the form of godliness is certainly here. And it could be anywhere. That's why it's so important for us to know the truth and to learn the truth and to walk with God and abide with Him so that we can, like Nehemiah did, we can perceive that God had not sent him. In the end times, the Bible says that there are many false prophets. And by the way, there will be a false prophet. Do you understand? The Bible says in the tribulation time, there will be a leader who is a false, listen to me, prophet. He will stand behind a pulpit. He will have all religions embrace him. But remember, God calls him a false prophet. And there are many, it says in 1 John, there are many false prophets that go out and they're false. What's false mean?
Untrue.
Very good. That's a simple definition. Just not true. And again, to try to point out each one, to try, look, learn the truth. It's just like with money. And when there's counterfeit money in the system and maybe store managers find out, they get their people to handle the real thing over and over and over and over and over. Learn what it feels like. Learn what it looks like. Just look at the real thing over and over and over and over so that when the false thing comes across their hands, they say, this isn't right. I know it's not right. Amen. And that's what we need to do. That's what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah was so close with God and so close to it, he perceived that God had not sent him. But you have to understand, this man had every appearance that God had sent him. Everything looked real good. Number one, we see the enemy's pursuit. The enemy's pursuit. In verse 10, notice the key word, afterward. Afterward. When is that? That's after the last temptation. And here he is again. I mean, here's the enemy again. Don't be shocked that the enemy stays after you. You're trying to do right. You're trying to do the will of God. That's why, you know, I mentioned 28 young people from this church are in college right now. 28 young people going off to college. Some in Bible college, some here in the area in secular college. But they're in college pursuing what they believe is the will of God for their lives. We ought to pray for them. We need to pray for them. We need to pray faithfully. You know, instead of criticizing, pray. Instead of, you know, you see them slip up, that ought to break your heart. And you ought to pray. You see, maybe someone didn't go back or something like that. That you should pray. Pray for him. Poor Ben. I mean, Ben wanted to go back. And he broke his foot serving the Lord. Amen. I mean, honestly. So instead of you know, what's going on? Pray. You know he's supposed to be in college. You know he wants to be in college. Pray. See, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Satan's not going to just lighten up. You know, we all think, oh, I wish he'd just back off. That's when he's going to pour it on. And here he is. There's the enemy again. Notice here, it's interesting in verse 10, Nehemiah came to Shemaiah. Nehemiah went to him. Now that tells you something. It should tell you something right away. This man was his friend. See, this is why it's even more difficult of a situation than it has been in the past, because Shemaiah was his friend. Shemaiah was also a son of a priest, and he claimed to be a prophet. And here, notice, he is shut up, the Bible says. That means that he was in a little room right next to the temple, and he had been sequestered. He had been set apart as a spiritual leader, as a prophet. I mean, come on. Nehemiah is going, obviously, for some counsel, for some advice. And he's going to a man that he believes is going to give him godly advice. He believes he's going to give him friendly advice. But remember, we already know this because we read in verse 12 that Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. You mean ministerial people can be bought? Oh, can they ever? And that's what we're seeing today. But regardless, I don't have time really to deal with that very much. The point I'm trying to make is, do you see how difficult this is for Nehemiah? Not only that, but verse 14 talks about the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets. That means that there were many religious, supposedly spiritual leaders that were supposed to help Nehemiah. And every one of them was dirty. Every one of them was trying to get Nehemiah off from the will of God for his life. And again, that's hard to imagine, but it's true. They were hired. And so, all of this, it's amazing. I mean, here they are hired to compromise, compromising for money to stop the work of God. Well, it happens all the time. It happens today. But the enemy, I mean, now watch this. Shimeiah had already been bought. The other prophets had already been bought, already paid for. And Nehemiah was fooled until when? Until they spoke. I mean, he went there with every thought that Shimeiah was going to be a friend and he was going to be a spiritual leader. Stay with me now. Until he spoke. In other words, Nehemiah had no clue. He had no idea. He had no way of knowing that there was any way these guys, these prophets had been bought, paid for by the enemy. He had no idea until they spoke. Now again, that takes me just immediately. It jumps out to me that Nehemiah knew the word of God so that when they spoke, it told who they were. Otherwise, he wouldn't have known. When they gave their counsel, when they gave their advice, he knew. But if he didn't know the Word of God, he wouldn't have known. If you don't know the Word of God, you will be led astray too. How is it that so many people will follow a David Koresh? How is it that so many people will follow a Jim Jones? It's people who are good people, but they don't know the Word of God. I mean, we sit back, we watch, and we think, how could... Oh, there's people right in here that could. Because you don't know the Word of God. How is it that people fall into those kind of things and do bizarre things that obviously are against the Word of God? They got drawn in because they didn't know the Word of God. That's why it's absolutely essential that we go to Sunday school. It's absolutely essential that we're in church every time the doors are open, that we listen in our Bible classes, that we listen in chapel. Why? Because if Nehemiah does not know the Word of God, Shimeiah is wearing the same uniform he wears. Shimeiah claims to be his friend, claims to be walking closely with God, but as soon as he spoke, Nehemiah knew. And Nehemiah didn't let friendship or his position or anything mess him up. He stuck with the Word of God. The enemy's pursuit. That's pretty dirty, wouldn't you say? To buy the man in the position of Shimeiah. Don't be shocked at what the devil does. Right. I never am. Number one, the enemy's pursuit. Number two is Nehemiah's perception. Nehemiah's perception. It says in verse 12, "And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him." Now you need to understand that what Shimeiah said, here's another thing, it is very tricky what he's saying. He's saying the enemy is all around Nehemiah, and I am a man of God. I'm telling you, Nehemiah, you need to hide because the enemy is going to come in the night and they're going to kill you. Now, wait a minute. Again, you got to understand, Shimeiah is not wearing a black hat. He doesn't have a sign on him that says, "I are the bad guy." Okay, he's not doing that. Okay, Shimeiah is this friend. He is a spiritual leader. And so he says, Nehemiah, listen to me. And there was danger all around. And the enemy had proven that they did want to kill Nehemiah. So what he's saying is sort of true. There's where, again, boy, if you don't know the Word of God, that's where we get in a lot of trouble. Because Satan will always put a little truth in with his error. He'll put enough truth to get you to, yeah. It's like folks listening to Christian rock. Every now and then they might even use the word Jesus. If you can understand it. And folks just all over the place, just say, parents from independent, fundamental Baptist churches, I've heard parents say, well, at least they're not listening to the other stuff. See, the devil's just put in a little, just enough truth to keep them on the hook. Just enough. That's why, again, this passage, don't take it lightly. This is powerful Christian living right here. Because Nehemiah's perception, this was what was said. Yes, the enemy is out to get you. And yes, the enemy, they may try to come at night. But notice what he says. He says, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. By the way, that was also true. That if Nehemiah was in the temple, the enemy would not attack him there. Wow. Sounds like a pretty good idea. I mean, it sounds like a pretty good plan that Shemaiah has here. And you know what? For the average independent fundamental Baptist, they would say, yeah, I'll do that. Thank God Nehemiah knew the truth. Thank God he knew the Word of God so that he could perceive that God had not sent him. Because the truth is, he would be safe from the enemy in the temple. But he knew the Word of God. Now we'll talk about this here in a few minutes. But notice some things about counsel that you get. Okay? Counsel is not of God if it leads you to disobey God. It will never be godly counsel if it leads you to disobedience of God's Word. It's not possible. In other words, yes, Nehemiah would have been safe from them, but he would not have been safe from God. Oh, you know, that's true. Because, again, if he goes in the temple, there's several things, and I'll talk about them here in a few minutes. But one of the things is, it's not his place to go in the temple. He's not a priest. And though it might have been safe from the enemy, he would have made God his enemy. Counsel is not of God if it leads you to disobey God. Never. Never, 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 never. You know, somebody comes to me and they say, preacher, God has led me to... And you know, I stop right there. And I say, you know, praise the Lord. This just happened the other day. Somebody came to my office and they made that very statement. And somebody with them said, wait a minute, aren't you going to... I said, no, they just told me that God led them to do that. They didn't ask me anything. They didn't ask me a question. They said that this is what God wants them to do. I'm not going to counsel anyone to do something God wants them to do. Hello? Now, if you ask me what I think, I'll tell you what I think. If you ask me what the Bible says, I can tell you what the Bible says. I'm just saying that counsel is not of God if it leads you to disobey God. Right. Ever. It never is. Counsel is not of God if it brings on some sort of a sinful reaction. They wanted Nehemiah, they wanted his reaction to be fear. In other words, they said they're going to attack you at night and they're going to come and kill you. Nehemiah, you need to be afraid of this. This is a real serious thing. You need to come into the temple. They wanted him to be afraid enough to go into the temple. Any counsel that is leading you to a sinful or brings on sinful reactions in our life, fear, anger, revenge, anything like that, it's not counsel that's godly counsel. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now again, you know, you have to weigh these things out. And the way to weigh them out is to know the Word of God and know the Scripture. Counsel is not godly counsel if it leads you to doubt. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It is not godly counsel if it leads to confusion. God's not the author of confusion. Are you all listening? And you've heard all over and over, duty's never conflict. Counsel is not godly counsel if it leads you away from the will of God. Duty's never conflict. And if it is my duty to do something, then obviously if I have two good choices, there is something that is the right choice. And that is something, again, that you have to determine, okay, what is God's will for my life? Nehemiah's perception, it's an awesome thing because, again, he immediately knew this was wrong. And it was wrong because, obviously, no question about it, he knew immediately, I'm not supposed to go in the temple. That's against God's word. And a couple other things we'll talk about. Nehemiah's perception. Number three is Nehemiah's position. And this is so crucial to me. Verse 11, because this is all part of what else he was thinking. Verse 11, and I said, should such a man, you ought to underline that in your Bible, should such a man as I flee? Notice what he says, and who is there that being, underline this, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. He said, should such a man as I, he said, a man being as I am. What's he talking about? Boy, he did not sell out his position at all. Nehemiah's position, number one, he was appointed by God. He knew that. God's appointed me to this position. God appointed me to build a wall. God has opened the doors for me to build this wall. What kind of a man would run away from God? God told me to do this. I've said this over and over again as we've gone through Nehemiah. That's how I made it through Bible college. There wasn't anything else. It wasn't my great character or anything. It was I held on to the Word of God. God called me, and I'm finishing God's call in my life. And over as a pastor, I have had to hold on to that calling of God, that appointment of God, that position, if you will, that God has put me in. I'm appointed by God. By the way, he was also appointed by the king. Now, that's not as important as God, but it was pretty important to Nehemiah. Remember, months ago, as we talked about it, how that it was a miracle that the king would send Nehemiah to rebuild those walls. It was a miracle that he had bathed in prayer and begged God for, and he's not going to sell out for that. He's not going to let fear get to him because he was such a man. I'm appointed by God. I'm appointed by the king. Then he was also the leader. He was the leader. Boy, we ought to analyze things. Fathers ought to analyze it. Do you understand? You're leading people. I still so vividly remember my buddy, Brother Mike Richter, was pastor in Winchester at Maranatha Baptist Church. And it was about 45 minutes away from our church in Bern, Indiana. And I was going to, I don't remember what I was going, to visit him and help him, maybe go soul winning with him or something there in Winchester. And I was on my way there, and I was in the car, and things were tough. I mean, we were going through a tough time, and I told God, I literally had a conversation with God that whole 45 minutes, and I said, God, you know what? I'm just going to quit. It's funny what we get into, and our backsliding gets into when we're going to go do something spiritual. You know, I've told Brother Richter, I said, yeah, I was so backslidden when I came to see you. You know, and it's funny how that is, but I said, God, I need to just quit. You know, I can quit, I can get a job, I can do any kind of other thing. I know that I can, and God, it's not fair, it's not, you know, and you know how we do. You say, no, really, I don't know how. Yeah, you do it all the time. and I just started really griping at God. And he brought back a message that I preached. Don't you hate that, Brother Johns? That's always a tough thing when God brings back a message you preached. And he said, and I heard myself saying it, you fathers, if you get out of the will of God, you take your family with you. And I looked at God, who was sitting by me over here in this seat. I know God's my co-pilot, God make him your pilot and all that. But anyway, I just said, that's not fair. Why should my wife suffer because of my backsliding? Why should my son and my daughter suffer because of me? And God, you know, it's like God said, you preached it. Is it true or not? And you know what? It is true. It is true. Fathers, I'm going to tell you something. It's time we realize our position. Well, I want to do my... Yeah, realize your position. Moms, same thing. Realize your position. Somebody is watching you. Hey, bosses, realize your position. Sunday school teacher, realize your position. Assistant pastors, realize your position. Bus captain, realize your position. Senior in high school, do you know how many people look up to you? Realize your position. Grandma and grandpa, do you know how many people look up to you? Realize your position. I mean, here's what he says. I'm such a man. God's appointed me. I'm the leader of these people. They're counting on me. Do you understand how many people are counting on you? People that are looking up to you. That's what Nehemiah was thinking about. By the way, we're also a child of the King.
Amen.
I mean, a child of the King. We're his kids. It's interesting, Proverbs 31. I don't know why, how this happened to come to mind, but it did. Proverbs 31 and verse 4, it says this, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink." And I'm not dealing with the alcohol part in that, but mainly just, did you know there are some things that are not for the kings or for the princes?
Amen.
Do you? I mean, that was awesome when I saw that verse and I realized, well, you know, that doesn't apply to me because I don't do that. And then I stopped and I thought, there are some things. Because I am a child of the King. There are some things because of my position. Hey, I do not need those kind of things. I'm not going to be a bad example. There's some things that are not for us because we're royalty. There are things not for us because God calls us a peculiar people. We don't need to feast on the world's roadkill when God has a banquet for us. There are some things that are just not for us. See, here's what it was. God's cause versus Nehemiah's life. And Nehemiah said, God's cause is more important than my life.
Good.
Now, I understand there are many that we kind of hedge on that thing. I mean, we like to think that, bless God, I'd die for Jesus. But Jesus has never asked you to die for Him, bless you. Jesus has asked you to live for Him, though. And I got news for you. It's a whole lot tougher living for Him than it is dying for Him.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Dying for Him is to go to heaven.
Yeah.
Living for Him is to have people smirk at you.
Right.
Dying for Him is to walk on streets of gold. Living for Him is to maybe not have as much fun as the world thinks they're having.
Amen.
Dying for Him is to have a perfect body. Amen. No glasses, no crutches, no casts, no surgeries, no drops in the eyes, no asthma spray, lots and lots of sugar. Amen? But to live for Him is to have the ridicule of the world. Nehemiah said, yes, God's cause is more important. Here's what it comes down to. Temporary safety versus the burden that was on his heart. Who wanted to build the wall in the first place? That was Nehemiah's dream. Young person comes and they say, Pastor, God's called me to go to Bible college. And I say, are you sure God's called you to do that? Yes, sir, I'm very sure. I say, because it's going to be tough. Well, I know it's going to be tough, but no, you don't really know it's going to be tough. You think you know it's going to be tough, but it is going to be tough. I'm talking about reality, real tough. Well, yeah, but I really believe that. Okay, if you believe that that is God's will for your life, then nothing should stop you. And it isn't long and the phone rings, Pastor, I don't have any money left except for I've got some things I need to, I could sell, but I don't really want to sell them because I like them. You told me this was God's will. Are y'all listening to me? I remember my Kawasaki 4 or 500, I think it was a 400, street bike. I remember selling it to buy my books. We took one last ride down Scenic Highway down in Pensacola. It was awesome. It's a great place to ride. And then sold it. Why? Because temporary safety is not as important as what God put in my heart to do. I'm telling you, folks, honestly, this is just really grassroots Christianity here. This is putting the rubber to the road. This is how it is. I mean, Nehemiah, you can be safe temporarily, but you're going to lose that dream, that vision that you had in your heart to build the wall. Or we could boil it down to this, pleasure versus duty. And a whole lot of folks sell out.
Right.
A whole lot of times, and Satan knows how to get us in that trap. The enemy's pursuit, Nehemiah's perception, Nehemiah's position. But then we come to number four, and that's the enemy's purpose. What was the enemy after here? It says very clearly in verse 13. This is really what it all boiled down to on this trick of the enemy. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so. In other words, go into the temple and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. The enemy's purpose. First of all was fear. Fear that I should be afraid. Fear that I would hide. Fear that I would be a coward. They said that we could go into the temple, and it says, let us shut the doors of the temple. In other words, I would be a coward. They would shut the doors. I'd be safe. But the people that I've given my life for would all be killed out there, or would be led to defeat, and the wall would not be built, or the enemy would take over the wall while I'm hiding and cowering fear. That was one purpose. By the way, that was one of the things Nehemiah perceived. They're trying to make me afraid instead of trusting my God. And by the way, if he does go in the temple and shut the doors, he totally, totally turns his back on the people. And you know, leaders can't do that. Leaders can't do that. Then he says, not only fear, but it says that I should be afraid and do so and sin. In other words, if he goes in the temple, he disobeys God. I like what he said. He said, I will not go in. I don't care what happens, I'm not going in. If the enemy comes with all their weapons, I'm not going in. I don't care if they come in the day. I don't care if they come in the night. I am not disobeying God to protect myself. Man, that's good stuff. That is good stuff. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. I will not go in. And then he said this, and I think it's so important. He said, and that they might have matter for an evil report. An evil report. To who? Well, first of all, to the heathen all around. Because Nehemiah disobeyed the God that he said he served. Larry made a statement today about in men's prayer time. We have a good time at men's prayer time. Y'all need to come, seriously. Fellas, y'all to come to men's prayer time. But Larry was talking about his bad day, which with Larry, you can pick a day. I mean, seriously, you know, just get a calendar out. And anyway, and he had an exciting day, and I had to get a tow truck and stepped in trouble. And anyway, he said, and on my business card, the first word is Christian. You know what? When they know you're a Christian, they expect something out of you. They expect something out of you. Yeah, public school, carry your Bible to school. Now they expect something. Well, that's why I don't carry it. I can't get away with stuff. I understand that. You folks go to work, let people know you're a Christian. Start giving out tracts. And I'm going to tell you something. It changes everything. And that's what Nehemiah knew this, that the enemy wanted him to sin so that it would lose any kind of respect that the heathen might have had. And I'm not going to say this again, but everybody here knows about my own parents who were saved. They watched us in every move we made. Every move we made. Report to his own people. What would they have thought? I mean, it'd be just like if I came up tonight when they bring the Lord's Supper out here and we start passing out all the bread and the juice and everything. Well, I'm up here and I got a big old bottle of wine and I'm drinking out of it. You'd go, oh. You'd be devastated. Well, he preaches against that. Think about Nehemiah's own people. An evil report to the heathen. But there's another person too he was concerned about. And that would have been an evil report to the king. The king that sent him. Because the king would have got report that Nehemiah had gone totally against everything he believed. Do you know how sad it is when you go against everything you believe? Happens all the time. That's why the seats aren't full in here. You understand if people didn't go against everything they believe, this place would be packed. There wouldn't be room in here. Go all the way back to the beginning of this church. And if everybody and their families, if they just held on to what they believed, there wouldn't be room. There would not be room on our property. And by the way, there wouldn't need to be because we would have the money to build bigger things. I'm just saying, if everybody stuck to what they've always believed. Well, you know, I just changed. Yeah, you fear. That's why you change. And the evil report, what a shock it is to the king. But most of all, it would have been an evil report to God. So there was fear. They tried to get him afraid so he'd hide, which would be a sin, disobeying God, which would cause an evil report. But then the last thing that is just so obvious, and I think, again, Nehemiah knew this because they tried it before. If he's not building, then he's not doing the will of God. And if he's hiding, he's not building. Right? Whatever it is that takes you away from that which you know God wants you to do, that's not a good thing. Because if he's hiding, he's not building. If he's not building, he's not doing what God called him to do. The enemy's purpose. The last thing, number five, is Nehemiah's prayer. And I love it in verse 14. Nehemiah, you know, he talks to God all the time. But boy, this is a powerful, powerful prayer. And really what he's doing here is he's just leaving the judgment up to God. And that's what you and I need to do too. If you concentrate too much on your enemies, do you understand? Satan wins. Quit concentrating on your enemies. I mean, pray for your enemies. The Bible says that. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Pray for them. But don't concentrate on them. Don't watch them. Don't look for them to slip up. I just want to rejoice. I want them to step in. Anyway. No, you don't have time for that. There's no time for that. Okay? Look, listen to me. Nehemiah simply left the judgment up to God. He says, my God. I love it. My God. And to paraphrase, deal with them. These their works. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works. These, the prophets, the prophetess Noadiah, these that would have put me in fear. God, think upon them. And what he's saying is, God, you deal with them however you see fit. That is so good. Nehemiah's prayer. And how do you suppose God would deal with people like that? And I close with these last thoughts. First of all, you had people who were pretending to be spiritual, but they were Satan's workers dressed up like God's prophets. I don't think God's for that. I think God will deal with those who do that. Oh, you say, preacher, don't, you know, there's tons of them out there. I understand that. There's a whole bunch of people like that out there that are trying to gain something by being supposedly religious and spiritual and all that. Some are Satan's workers, no question about that. Bible talks about there being tares sown in among the wheat. We know that. There's probably unsaved people here trying to steer things the wrong way. That's biblical. But I'm not looking around for them. Bible says let them grow together. You shouldn't look around for me. Look for them either. Every now and then we'll shoot out a dose of Roundup throughout the congregation. Amen? Spiritual Roundup. If anything, if somebody here is not saved and it's your goal to destroy this church, you have to be miserable when God works. You have to be. You have to be. You have to sit there and cringe. I know I've dealt with demon-possessed people before, and you just talk about the blood of Jesus, and they go ballistic. And so if there is somebody like that, it's got to be tough on you every now and then. We sing songs about the Lord, and it blesses God, and people get excited, and you got to just kind of... And I hope it is miserable. But I just say, God, you take care of that. And that's what Nehemiah said. And so, you know, I know God's not excited about somebody who is a wolf in sheep's clothing. So that's who Nehemiah is. He says, okay, you deal with them. And then how about pretended friends? Yeah, I don't think God's happy with them either. I mean, Shemaiah appeared to be a friend of Nehemiah's. Go to Micah chapter 7. The little book of Micah has all kinds of good stuff in it. Micah chapter 7. It is in the Old Testament. Let's see. I'll tell you the page number in your super giant print Bible. 1429. Micah 7 verse 5. Trust ye not in a friend. Wow. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. You know what he's saying? There's not a whole lot of people you really can trust. But you can always trust the Lord. Why? Because pretended friends have always been. Amnon had a friend who was actually a relative who led Amnon to his death after Amnon raped his sister. Wait a minute. That was his friend told him, go ahead and do that. You say, well, preacher, you know, my friends are... You better make sure your friends are biblical. You better make sure your friends are people that walk with God. You better make sure that your friends aren't just Shimeiahs hired to get you off base. Yeah, I think God looks pretty down on pretended friends. By the way, do you understand there's no loss for them when you fall? Jonadab? Amnon's friend, I don't know whatever happened to him. As far as we know, he didn't get in any trouble with Amnon. Amnon died. Be careful who you listen to. Pretended religion, pretended friends, pretended counselor. Micah chapter 3, verse 11. Go back a couple pages if you're still in Micah. Micah 3:11, it says, the heads thereof judge for reward. And the priests thereof teach for hire. And the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Be careful. Be careful. Counselors, be careful. You know, if a counselor tells you anything you want to hear, they're probably not in it for your good. The Bible says speaking the truth in love. Sometimes the truth is not a real popular thing, but you need to do it lovingly. I counsel people all the time, but I'm never looking for a popularity contest. And sometimes counsel is, you know, pastor, should I do this? No, I don't think you should, but I want to, but I don't think you should. You asked, I'm telling you. Nehemiah perceived they weren't of God. And then anyone, you know, these pretended religious people, these pretended friends, these pretended counselors, you know, I think God will deal with him, but I think God's going to deal with anyone who attempts to thwart God's will for your life. Yeah, I believe that. I believe God will deal with that. Anyone who tries to keep you from the will of God, and you should be very, very cautious of those who would do that. Does the crowd that you run with, do they seek the will of God? Do they want that from their own lives, or do they talk during church? Do they goof off? Do they pay attention when the preaching goes on? Do they ever go to the altar? Have you ever seen them make a decision for the Lord? I mean, the crowd you run with. Because if that's your crowd, if that's who counsels you, I can't imagine them getting real excited about the will of God for your life. You know, that guy, boyfriend, whatever you want to call him, that girlfriend, I mean, do they talk about the will of God for your life? What if it's the will of God that you not marry them? Would they be for that? Oh, preacher, they've already told me. No way they would be for that. I mean, they want... Oh, so what they want is more important than what God wants. Then I would get away from that situation. Do you understand when you really love somebody, what you want is not as important as what God wants? That would be a parent who does not want their child to be a missionary because they just can't stand the thought of their grandkids being in a foreign country while they're here so lonely and sad. That would be a parent not wanting their child to go into full-time Christian service. Could be a parent not wanting their child to do something that would take them far away, whether it's missions or whether it's secular work. I'm just saying, you know what? We need to be very, very careful in our counseling. We need to be very careful in our listening of those we listen to. Nehemiah, there was something. There was something. He was able to perceive God had not sent them. God had not sent them. And you know what? He does it again. He overcomes another temptation. This one, I think, might have been the toughest one. And I believe with all my heart, because I have been here, you have too. I believe this one probably put him on his face in tears. Because when your friends and your leaders, when they lead you astray, or they try, that hurts. That's tough. That's tough. And everybody in this room, we've been let down by somebody, right? We all have. I think Nehemiah walked away from there shaking his head. Here's somebody I looked up to. Here's somebody I thought cared about me. Here's somebody I thought cared about the walls being built. But they really didn't care.